the promise of the Messiah, the epic battle. Long before you or I were created, or even the world for that matter, God had a plan. A plan to save sinners. The purpose of this plan? To bring Him glory. It was an awesome plan, but it would come with an awful price. The price was freedom. The freedom our parents lost in paradise. In the beginning, God created a perfect world with two perfect people. God designed them male and female and put them into a garden to fulfill His purpose, be fruitful and multiply. God blessed them with freedom. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. Yet with this freedom came responsibility. A test would be given. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:16-17. Satan would tempt them with lies to destroy their freedom. And he said to the woman, "Has God really said you cannot do that? You will not surely die. Rather, you will be your own God, knowing good and evil." Eve believed these lies, and she ate. Then she gave to her husband with her, and he ate also. And in that moment, their freedom was turned to slavery. Guilty before God, they hid. Alienated from each other, they blamed. Judged by God, they died. And so did we. Therefore, just as through one man's sin, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5, chapter 12. Sin wrecked the world, but did not change God's glory or God's plan. He would judge sin. This reveals His righteous judgment. God immediately judged Adam and Eve for their sin. And He would also save sinners. This glorifying His grace. Here is what actually happened after Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Recorded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Turn there if you will. After they sinned against God by believing the devil's lies, the scripture says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened." Our first parents sin, and the scripture says, "Now they see." Interesting phrase. The eyes of both of them were opened. What do they now see that they did not see before? Scripture says, "And they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings." This means they now saw themselves as sinful. They had a self-awareness that was independent of God, an awareness that caused them shame. That is why they had to cover themselves. They had lost their innocence. They were now guilty. Look what happens next. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." How many times did they walk with the Lord in the cool of the day? I don't know. But I think it would indicate that they had a pattern here of walking with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard the sound. They recognized what was happening. But this time, something radical had changed. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Instead of coming to the Lord, they hid. To walk with God, they had to be righteous. They lost their innocence. And they lost their innocence as a result of sin. And that is why they hid from the presence of the Lord. As it is this very day. John 3:19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Before our parents sinned, they were blind to sin. They did not know it. But after they sinned, they were blind to the light and did not know the light. They became unrighteous. And so did we. What would God do? You know, he had an infinite amount of possibilities. Let's see what God did. Genesis 3:19. Adam, where are you? He asks a question. Then the Lord God called Adam, and he said, where are you? Do you remember what our dad said? His words can be echoed to this day. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself. God asked him the next question. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? In other words, Adam, did you sin? There's something that's out of line here. Why are you hiding? Where did you get this knowledge? Who told you you were naked? Adam, did you sin? And here's what our dad said. With one line, he ducked his responsibility and blamed everybody in his life. The woman you gave me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Blame. Did not take responsibility. Blamed God, the woman you gave me, and blamed her. She gave it to me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman, our mother, I was deceived. Our mother said that the serpent deceived me and I ate. Deception is to cause someone to believe something that is not true so as to gain advantage. Our mom was deceived by the serpent. That's why to this day women are not to be in positions of leadership. Implications to the church. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:12, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. She was deceived, and that caused her to not believe the truth. And as a result of being deceived, she fell into sin. What does God do to the one who deceived our mom? To Satan. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, no questions asked." He gets no questions. You're cursed. More than all cattle and more than every beast of the field, on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Enmity. Enmity is the state of being actively opposed. It's a forceful hatred. Psychologists continue to marvel at what appears to be an inborn hatred of snakes. So people hate snakes, the serpent, more crafty. And to Satan, there's enmity. Who is God speaking to here? Satan. This enmity was between who? Between you, that would be Satan, and the woman. And there's a further explanation in verse 15. Your seed and her seed. That is Satan and his demons against humanity. And that is the epic battle. That is the great battle. The battle for the truth between Satan and his seed and humanity. Your seed and the seed of the woman. Between all the forces of hell and man, who is made in the image of God, created and commissioned to rule this earth for God's glory. The cosmic battle that is between good and evil lives in the heart of every person and is fueled by the evil forces of hell. Paul writes, "We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ephesians 6:12. All that Paul is mentioning there, the heavenly host, the seed. Do you understand that we are in a battle? This is the epic battle. This is the cosmic battle. A battle for truth. Jesus reveals why truth is so difficult. It's because of this battle. Jesus said in John 8:43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Why do we have such a hard time communicating? Why do we have a hard time understanding the scriptures? Because you're not able to listen to my word, you are of your father, the devil. And the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own resources, his native tongue. For he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me." Jesus here, stepping into the epic battle, talking to people who are of their father, the devil, blinded by Satan's lies, and when he says the truth, they don't believe. And the reason they don't believe is why? Because it's true. Lost humanity does not want to believe truth. Lost humanity is in rebellion against God's truth. Why? Because lost humanity has believed the lies of the enemy. Jesus calls their enemy their father. And they always do what their father wants them to do. Jesus counters this with stating that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The epic battle is between the lies of the devil and the truth of the Word of God. It has been this way for every generation from the beginning of time, and will continue this way until Jesus returns and puts an end to it. At the fall, all of humanity was plunged into sin, falling into the realm of darkness, being deceived and deceiving. This is the nature of man. This is the result of the fall. This is the epic battle. The battle that God has established as He established the battleground. Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity. God is the one who puts the enmity, which is an intense hatred, between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Between your seed and her seed. He puts this enmity, establishes the epic battle. Reveals the duration for this battle. A seed. What does a seed do? What do you mean seed? Well, a seed sprouts. Right? And a seed gives life. And we know that that life produces life. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about a multi-generational battle. It's every generation from the beginning of time that will be engaged in this battle. A multi-generational outworking of the seed of the woman. But thankfully, God also declares the outcome. The outcome. It is into the context of this epic battle that God makes a promise. A Messiah would be given. And He states it with one line. He shall bruise your head. And you shall bruise His heel. He, who is He? The promised one who had come from the seed of the woman. He shall bruise your head. That bruise is a crucial bruise. It's a critical bruise. It's a forceful bruise. It's a crushing bruise. He, the seed of the woman, the promised one to come, would bruise whose head? Your head. Who is He speaking to here? Satan. He would crush Satan's head. And you, Satan, shall bruise. It's the same Hebrew word, bruise, both sides, both times. He will bruise with a crushing bruise your heel. This promise then, in the context of an epic battle, the promise that there will be one born of a woman who will crush Satan's head, and that of the seed of the serpent, he will bruise the heel. This battle sets the context for the entire Bible and all the revelation of God. Now, would you rather have your head crushed or your heel crushed? And we know what that pictures. Jesus, Satan, thought he had him on the cross, but it was only a strike to the heel, because he rose again from the dead. And in the resurrection, there was the crushing blow to the forces of evil, to Satan. This is the promise of the epic battle. It was a promise that was determined to be fulfilled, but it would not be easy. God had more to say. He deals with Satan first, but then he moves on to the curse. And he curses our mother and her daughters. And to the woman, Genesis 3:16, he says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception and pain. You shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. What is critical for the seed promise to come to pass? The seed of the woman had to continue. God said, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be painful. The process of birthing would be painful. It's cursed. I would take this as including the process of child rearing. It's going to be difficult. It's cursed. The process of bringing forth children is going to be difficult. It's cursed. The relationship you have with your husband is going to be difficult. It's cursed. It's cursed. The role of the woman is cursed. God made her to have dominion with her husband, but the role that God gave to her to raise up children, to care for her husband, to be the helpmate, it's cursed. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. God cursed our mom because she was deceived. And God cursed our dad because he listened to her. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Where did Adam get the information to go against God's will? Where did Adam get the information to go contrary to the clearly revealed will of God? The voice of his wife. Why this is so important is because who you listen to and what you believe determines everything. Your faith. Your faith. And faith always trusts in truth claims. And there's two sets of truth. There's two sets of truth claims in the world. True truth claims and false truth claims. Right? There's true truth claims, God said, and there's all the false claims that claim to be true. And that's the devil and his lies. And he uses everyone and everything all the time. This time, he used Eve. And because Adam listened to the voice of his wife, he was cursed. You've eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. What is sin? Disobeying God's law. God gave his law. Do this, don't do this. Freedom. You can eat all this food. Don't touch this. That's the thing I'm doing. Why? That's the story of our parents. It's important to understand this. And even more to understand it is to identify with it, that this is our parents. This is in our soul. This is in our DNA, if you will, to blame and to deny responsibility and to listen to our wife when she's giving us the wrong advice and to be deceived by the voice of the enemy and to disobey God. Therefore, Adam was cursed in his realm. The woman was cursed in her realm, in the home, in childbearing, in the relationship with her husband. The man was cursed in his realm. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field and the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Hardships, heartache. The multi-generational vision must continue. It's the promise of God, but it's going to be hard. How am I going to feed my family?
The ground is not going to yield.
It's going to be difficult. The ground is cursed. It's going to be toiling all the days of your life. Sweat, labor, difficulties, setbacks, conflict. And in the end, death. You'll return to the ground. You're taken out of it, and that's where you will end up. The epic battle is difficult because of the curse. Cursed in relationships. Cursed in our relationship with creation. And the ultimate curse being that of death. But the story doesn't end there. There's the promise of the gospel. There's the promise of the good news. And the next verse stands out in chapter 3, verse 20. The cursed is given. And what's the next thing we read? Adam calls his wife's name Haya. Eve. Eve is the Latin of the Hebrew. Haya. The mother of the living. He looks at Eve. He hears the promise. Adam hears the promise. He takes the curse and he says, from you life will come. From you life will come. You're the mother. You're the source of living. And we know that life comes by faith. This was Adam's testimony of being justified by faith. He believed the promises of God. He received the promises of God. And he trusted the revelation that was given him. And he looked to his wife and he said, the mother of the living will bear the promise of the one who will crush Satan's head. The mother of the living. Next, Adam and his wife received covering. A picture of their righteousness that was given to them, clothed in righteousness. A picture of the gospel. Adam confesses his faith in the promises of God in verse 20. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He covers them in an act of grace, in an act of love, in an act of kindness. The external revealing what's inside in the internal. They're clothed. They're covered. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. Sometimes we miss the impact of that verse. A beautiful, wonderful garden. Everything you needed was provided. There's no other people on earth. Okay. And you're just kicked out. This is all you have is a promise. A promise that life will come from your wife. And the promise that that satanic thing that deceived you would be crushed. And that your life is going to be hard and you're going to die. That's what he had. Kind of bleak. That's the history of humanity. That's why things are the way they are. Because of the curse. Because of the fall. This is the reality of humanity. This is what we deserve because of what our parents did. And we, in the likeness of our parents, did the same thing. So they were sent out of the garden. So he drove out the man, drove him out. You have to get out. And he placed the cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. There's no way they're getting back in there. The promise then unfolds. And here we begin the multi-generational battle, the epic battle between good and evil. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired the man, literally, from the Lord, from Yahweh. This is the man. Look, here he is. This is the first man ever born. Remember, no one was born until Cain. If God gave you a promise, the deliverer is going to come from the seed of the woman and crush that satanic creature that deceived you, you'd be pretty excited when there was the baby born. The man! Was he the man? First John 3:11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. That's enmity. That's enmity. Enmity. There's hatred. Satan hates God. Satan hates humanity. And there's enmity. There's hatred between Satan and humanity. And Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy all people. All people are made in the image and likeness of God. He hates mankind. So the first man that's born, Scripture says, that Cain was of the wicked one. The wicked one was in Cain. And Cain was in the evil one. And as a result, he murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Worship. Because of worship wars. The first fight, the first murder was over worship. How do we worship God? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Remember? They were giving their gifts to the Lord. And he was jealous of his brother's gifts. Envious. And he killed him in cold blood. Murdered him. Scripture says, because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why he murdered him. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Was Cain the promised one? Not at all. Not at all. What about Seth? What about Seth? When we get to Genesis 4:25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of Yahweh. At that time, they begin to call on the name of the Lord. So we see here that this epic battle gets more intense and more specific. We see here that there is a seed line within the seed of the woman that carries out the promise. Seth, not Cain. Abel was killed. This blessing now would come through Seth. So we're going to see God in his sovereignty is defining a specific seed line through the seed of the woman, of all people, of all nations, of nations that are beginning here. There's a seed line that will carry this promise. Where is the promised one who would deliver us? So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Genesis 5:28. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." So you see the thinking there. Noah, well, they wanted someone to deliver them. They needed someone to deliver them from the curse. It was hard. It was exhausting. The ground was difficult. The curse was upon them. Maybe this would be the man. Maybe it will be Noah. Well, Noah was a special man, wasn't he? The epic battle continues. Because Yahweh saw the wickedness of men, that it was great. We see now the implication of this satanic influencing of men in the fallen nature of humanity that rebels against God, that discards God's law and God's commandments. This has been the commandment from the beginning, as we read in 1 John 3, that you love one another. God gave them this. He wrote it on their conscience, in their heart. They had the knowledge of God. Our parents walked with God in the cool of the day. They told this to their children. They gave them their purpose, and they told them what the Lord God had done. And they rejected it. They rejected it. And they did what they wanted to do. They did what they felt like doing. And there was a great wickedness on the earth. And that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy, the Toledot, the story of Noah, Genesis 6, 9. So we see that many seeds will end in destruction. But there is a promise given. A promise given to this line of Seth and of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, like Cain. Much violence. And so God told Noah to build an ark, because God would judge the world, and we see God's mercy. Noah preached, "Repent and believe in the salvation of God, and turn from your evil ways." And they mocked him, and they reject him all through those many years of the construction of the ark, until God sent the flood, and the grounds were open, and the water came up from the earth, and the heavens dumped down their rain, and the earth was flooded and destroyed everything that had the breath of life. That is everything but Noah and the animals that were on the ark and his family. God sent a worldwide flood. Why? Because of sin. But the hope in the promise continues. He, born of a woman, will crush the seed of the serpent's head. When will this come? God reaffirms the blessing, Genesis 9:1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. The epic battle's before you." Nations are being built now. Nations. Tribes are turning into nations. And the nations gather together at Babylon and say, "We will rule. We will make a name for ourselves." Look at the satanic nature of man. Marxism is nothing new. We will have our utopia now. We will do it in our name. And they built a mammoth ziggurat up into heaven to show their superiority over God.
God came down and confused their languages. And he says, not like this. Like this. And he chose one man
from Ur of the Chaldeans. Not like all these nations. And he scattered them, confused their languages.
And he chose one man.
And said, this man will be blessed. And his seed I will make a nation. And the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you a great name. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12, 1 and 3. So we see a narrowing in again, don't we? A narrowing in of this seed promise to you. And a broadening of the blessing. All the families of the earth will be blessed. So in the first 12 chapters of the Bible, the whole of God's revelation sits. It unfolds this epic battle. Given in Genesis 3:15, given through the seed of promise, given through Abraham and his seed. And that carries on through the whole Bible. We see the genealogies of a listing of the importance of this seed promise. Who is the Messiah? Who is this anointed one? When will he come? What will he do? What will he look like? Many questions were asked. The lists of the genealogies are given throughout the scriptures. And the genealogies all come to their fulfillment when the promised one was born. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This seed promise, Satan tried to destroy at every level, with Herod at every turn, throughout all the scriptures, destroying the nature of man, the image of God on earth. Matthew and Luke record for us the genealogies, the record of the fulfillment of God, who made a promise at the dawn of time and kept his promise throughout time. Jesus did come, Jesus did die, Jesus did rise from the dead, and Jesus is enthroned now in heaven. But is that the end of the battle? Not at all. The epic battle continues. Turn with me in Revelation chapter 12 as we get a picture of this battle that has raged and continues to rage. Revelation 12. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. There's the epic battle in the Bible. In the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, the woman, pictured here. And what does the woman do? Give birth. And another, give birth to the Messiah. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Who is the dragon, that serpent, the devil, the seed of the enemy who wants to kill and steal and destroy, ready to crush and to devour the child as soon as it was born. she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Jesus Christ came. He died. And he rose again from the dead as enthroned. He's seated at the right hand of God forever. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And a war broke out in heaven. Why? Because we're in an epic battle. There's always wars breaking out. There's always battles. And Michael and his angels fought with a dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Satan was the one who deceived our mother and therefore our father. Satan is the one who deceives the world. How does he deceive? With lies. That's the one thing he uses. He uses lies. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Angels being the demons there, right? His messengers. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." What does the enemy do? He's the accuser of the brethren. What does that mean? He constantly accuses Christians of lies to humanity that would believe falsehood that the enmity between the forces of the demonic forces and mankind would hear these lies and turn against God. These lies are constantly spewed forth. And he was cast down. But those who believe the truth, verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. What do you do in a battle? You die. You fight. They did not love their lives, but they laid down their lives in this epic battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And they overcame him. How? By their own strength? By their own power? No. By the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. What does Satan want to do? Kill, steal, and destroy, persecute the people of God. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for time and times and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. Notice the language, serpent, devil, used synonymously. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her seed, the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the epic battle. You do realize you're in a battle. We see the beginning, and we know the end. Jesus Christ sums it all up in his return. But until then, we must fight the good fight for the glory of God, with the word of God, praying, with the shield of faith, extinguishing all the lies, the wiles of the devil, that we may know the truth, and the truth would set us free. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your grace. We do thank you for your mercy and your love. We thank you for the knowledge of your will. We thank you for sending your Son to be our Messiah, our Savior, to redeem his people from their sins, that we may stand and understand the battle that we face. Oh God, teach us to believe the truth, that we could be set free from sin and death, clinging to the righteousness of Christ alone, and can do battle royal against the enemy, against the forces of darkness, until you return. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Let's respond in prayer as a church body, as we have to engage in the battle. As we think about this battle now, let's cry out to God for mercy, that we would walk in faith and the truth of the Word of God, taking on the full armor of God, being able to stand in this day and not be in slumber and sleep and being swept away by deception. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that we can come before you as a congregation. We come before you, Lord, as our prayers, as Revelation says, our incense going up into your throne room. Father, we pray for your mercy and help in our time of need. Lord, help us to see what you have revealed to us in your word, that we are indeed in a battle. We have a real enemy, that he is a raging lion. He is a defeated foe, but we cannot, but he is our foe. And we cannot go against him in our own strength, Lord. Sometimes we forget we're in a battle. Sometimes we forget that we have an enemy. Sometimes we forget, Lord. We need to remember and not be ignorant of his schemes. That we would not be deceived, but we would be on guard. That we would watch and pray and be ready. And that we would not fall into temptation like our father did, Adam. Like our mother did, Eve. That we would not follow in their ways, but follow in the ways of our second Adam, Jesus Christ. Help us to see this battle for what it is. And to repent and to trust in your gospel. To repent and to trust in your word. To believe your truth claims. And to help those who are stuck, who are lost in this battle, who are on their way to judgment and hell because they have believed these lies. The lies that all humanity has believed because of the deception that is upon us. Lord, because and the curse that is very difficult. Lord, you put this enmity, but this enmity can be redeemed, can be removed in Christ, that we can be bought back to you, that we can be set free and not have to follow the law of our father, the devil, and his lies. But as Jesus said in John 8, we can know that truth, and the truth that set us free, may we be free. And when we are free indeed. I pray for freedom, Lord, as righteousness is restored by faith, that we would have freedom, Lord, to worship you. Free, even though we live in a quote-unquote free country, we are enslaved. We are an enslaved people. Because we are not believing truth, Lord. We ask that you help. I ask that you help us to believe the truth that would set us free to worship you and you alone, to stand against the lies of the enemy, that we would be able to partake of these heavenly gifts that you give us through Christ, and that you would set us free. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Oh, God, have mercy on our land. Have mercy on your church, Lord, on the churches. Lord, have mercy. Grant us unity of faith and spirit to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Have mercy on us, I pray. Mercy in our homes, Lord God. Mercy in our assembly. And not only in our assembly, but in this valley, Lord, and in this world. We thank you, Lord God, for the promise that we have. We thank you, Lord, for sending Christ, who crushed his head, crushed Satan's head, so that we could know that we have this victory. May we walk out the victory now by faith in Christ's name, I pray.